Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. When 28-year-old aspiring journalist Shiori Ito goes public in May of 2017 with her rape allegations against Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's closest journalist and biographer, she feels she has no other choice in order to change Japan's antiquated sexual assault laws. Her press conference shocks the public in a society where speaking up on such matters is considered shameful. It is an amazing documentary film. It's called Black Box Diaries. We're joined today by the director as well as the subject. Shiori Ito, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you for having me. Arigatou gozaimasu.
Thank you so much for being here. There's so much here in the film. There's different levels to the film, not only the crime itself, your reaction to it, Japanese society, the investigation. There's a lot here. And you managed to tell this in a story that is not only personal, very, very personal, but also illuminates a much larger issue along the way. You were doing these recordings of yourself on an iPhone, sort of as I see from what you said, a way to protect yourself moving forward. At what point did you envision this as something more than your own sort of account of what happened?
Well, I think because I have a journalist background and I really did start questioning why they didn't start, you know, investigating, or maybe there are possible cover-up, I start recording everything. The downline is if the police did take the case and if they did their job, if we didn't have a 110-year-old rape law, if we didn't have this culture of shame, or so many layers of it, then I didn't have to go public. I didn't have to write a book. I didn't have to make a film. But all of that, I realized that it needed to be updated. And for that, I believe in storytelling. And this is what I do. So when it's really hard to talk about from where you're from, this is the way to communicate, I realized. And that's why I decided to make a film.
You know, I don't think there's any shortage of shame around talking about sexual abuse, rape, the kinds of things that this film is about. Anywhere in the world, there is for women who are victimized by this heinous crime, it is difficult no matter what. But it does seem that from the description that we see in the film, that in Japan, this is a particularly daunting enterprise to undertake, to essentially make it known that you're going to fight back in some way. I see that you worked with Hannah, is it
Aquilin?
Let's talk a little bit about her.
So without Hannah, this film couldn't be here today. And Hannah, of course, helped me in many ways. But most important, she helped me as a human being. So she had a Japanese friend, and they both were living in London. And they just called me. I didn't know them. They Skyped me and say, you should escape from Japan. We can help you. Just be safe. Come to stay with us, and we'll think about it, what you can do next. And at that time, right after I went public, I started receiving many trolls and threats, and I felt like I couldn't work anymore. So I decided to say, yes, okay, I don't know you both, but thank you. I'll take that, because that was the first help that I received, and I couldn't seek to anywhere. So I took the opportunity, and I flew, and I actually started living at their places. So one Japanese friend place, one Hannah's place. So I just went back and forth, so that I don't be big, you know, burden for them. But I've been sleeping under Hannah's IKEA table so many months. And she is Swedish journalist, and she made a TV docs, but this was our first film documentary as a featured film. So we didn't know where to start, but she decided to come back to Japan with me, saying, no one can harm Swedish human rights. And she was so literally became like my human shield. And she started filming when I went back to Japan, when I have to chase the most, powerful police person. And she was everywhere with me. It's just that I had this support as a human, as a woman, and as many level that it is okay to ask these questions. And so, of course, she filmed many of that. And that's why we have the footage. But we had an idea of a film, but it was just first to ask these questions and for her to be there so that if I didn't have her, I don't know if I ever can, come back to Japan to start with and to start asking these questions. So it was just a friendship to start with. And making this film, we start having other amazing teammate that became like my family to me. And I realized working as a journalist, sometimes it's very isolated, writing on yourself. But filmmaking, it takes a village. And for me, that was an empowering process to make this film.
I want to talk about the press conference, but we need to go back to the crime itself. And so I want to talk about that, but I also want to let our listeners know that there was resistance within your own family as to how you should proceed and all this. So there's so many layers, as I said in our introduction, there's just so many layers to this film. And the perpetrator of the crime is on a political level that would be hard to imagine challenging in any society, in any community, to step forward and be held accountable. In and of itself is amazing part of the film. Let's talk about the night of April, I want to say 5th, 2015. Do I have that right? From the footage, is that right?
The it was actually April 3rd, but I woke up in the morning of April 4th. But
Okay.
yeah.
So let's talk about, to the extent you want to, where who this person is that we're talking about, and to whatever you want to talk about in that regard, just the crime itself.
Yeah, well, you put it straight away. So this film, first of all, is not about sexual bias. It's not about the not the focus is not about rape itself. So
Okay.
I was sexually assaulted by this man who was biographer, who became biographer of Prime Minister Shinzo Abe back then, and he had a really power to powerful connection. But the story of this film is about what happened after.
Okay.
It's not also about him. Because like the question you asked before, the reason why I made this film was because the pol how police, how investigation, how media, how the law didn't work towards to it. They almost cover every single thing up.
Right.
And that's the reason. And sexual violence happens everywhere in the world, unfortunately. That's how I also like realized whenever I scream our film in different parts of the world. I meet so many survivors. I can even see in their eyes, even they don't speak to me after watching the film. The focus is also about not traumatizing, re-traumatizing myself, but also the other survivors watching it. So I didn't want to put anything like visually traumatic. I didn't put any details of the rape in the beginning of the film. I put it rather later on so that people don't have to think about it. The reason why, yeah, I made this film is because that I want them to wear my shoe and how it looks like
Yeah.
to investigate your own case. But sadly, yes, this is such a universal
Yeah.
topic.
The Black Box, which is referred to, the title Black Box Diaries is the name of the film. To the extent I'll read a little bit of how it's defined as a system whose internal workings are hidden or not readily understood. In Japan, the land of black boxes, I learned, you learned what happens in this society when you start opening those boxes. That's really what you're talking about. Again, I want to come back to this idea that on so many different levels, you were under assault. On so many different fronts, you were dealing with that. And there are some recorded conversations with the people who are supposed to be investigating this that are pretty jaw-dropping. And thankfully, we have the opportunity to hear them understand in real time and understand the context of exactly what is being said and why. So that's such a powerful part of the film. You are a journalist. You have obviously have some understanding of the internal workings of politics and government and the rest of it. But how did that affect you, or how did you what changed in you when you're hearing people who you know should be seeking the truth, should be looking for what should be some measure of justice? What did that how did that impact you in sort of moving forward? I mean, obviously, you made the film because of it in many ways, but I'm just in terms of just sort of your worldview on a personal level.
There were disappointment within in a journalism world in Japan, because it is the truth. Yeah, the powerful people somehow have different level of possible influence towards the authorities, starting with police. That we hear it all the time. But journalism should be the watchdog of the power, and I don't see that happening in Japan. And in Japan, we even have this thing called press club. The only mainstream newspaper or TV station gets to question these powerful people. They are the only one who can be invited to press conference. Not the foreign press, not the web, news outlet or other independent journalist who is willing to ask hard question. So it's almost like set up, and selected the people who wouldn't ask hard questions. I think we've seen something similar here in the United States. Like, what? Still, I feel like in the US, there are visibility and there are form of understanding what journalism should be. And that's what I want to believe in. But I didn't feel that at all in Japan. And that's why I had to start covering my own case. And I think it was great that I had a bit of education what journalism looks like from US or from other parts of the world. So I could believe in something. And that was very important. I had chance to see amazing work of Mary F. Kelbert, a photojournalist who covered about US military sexual survivor stories. And when I looked at photo, it was a photo of the father who just lost his daughter after experiencing rape and not being believed. And I could see myself in it. I could see my dad, because that's where I was before starting all this public question. But this one photo, single photo from America by American photojournalist saved my life, told me storytelling can reach somewhere beyond words, beyond somewhere. And that's when I felt like, okay, if I'm ready to give up everything, my life, my own life, because I felt like I can't live anymore if the society and judicial system and the investigation was sort of pushing back everything while I'm trying to seek for justice. I realized that it's important. We still have space to believe in journalism and in storytelling. And so I just cannot thank enough for these amazing journalists who give me all this fuel to keep going. Because otherwise, if I couldn't believe in journalism in general, I couldn't have done it. So there are many amazing, also, I want to thank Lady Gaga, who made a song about sexual violence. I was so surprised such a public figure would speak about it. Not speak, but through putting through her creation. These things has been really huge support system for me to realize it is okay and it is important to talk about it.
And I've been of the mind, I don't think I'm certainly not the first person to say this, and that is that documentary filmmaking is a form of journalism. It depends on the subjects that are being tackled in the film, but certainly in this case, this is journalism that we're seeing. That's another layer to this. That's the personal story, it's the government's reaction, the authorities' reaction, but this is journalism at the end of the day. And so you're the director and you're a journalist. So in terms of just sort of wearing those two hats, are they so similar that as to be indistinguishable, or do you feel like You had your journalism hat on while you were a director. How does that sort of play out in your mind?
I cannot wear two hats at the same time. So there are, being as a journalist, it helped me while documenting it because I questioned so many things,
Yes.
but it didn't help me in the editing room because as a journalist, I felt like, no, I need to maybe interview the offender, Yamaguchi, because that's not fair for him that he doesn't have a say. But then I have to wear back my director hat saying, you know what, this is a film. It is not journalism. So I have to let myself cross the line as a journalist because this is the film. It is okay to tell one-sided story. And this is not film about him or about the rape. So I get to decide. But to come to the conclusion, believing it's okay, it took so many discussion within myself and time. It took 4 years to edit. It was difficult. It helped me in a way that I had journalistic hat, but it also stopped me in a way that I, because I was a journalist, but then now I'm very proud of myself that in a documentary filmmaking, I was able to do this, to put myself as a survivor, as a journalist, both together in this film.
I just want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with Shiori Ito. She is the director, as well as, I believe, producer. Yes, a producer on this amazing documentary film called Black Box Diaries. What's been the reaction in Japan to the film?
So we premiered Sundance already this year, and we've been traveling around the world, over 50 different film festival and countries, and but we never had screening yet in Japan. We don't have any distribution date yet in Japan. Our team working so hard to knock all the doors, but it's been really difficult. And for me, this is my love letter to Japan, to my sister and my friends and my family. And this is why I made this film. And I really wish I can screen it in Japan. But still, as a result of being denied for all these, theaters and distributors, I could feel how difficult it is to
Yeah.
talk about this issue and the power in Japan.
Well, Shiori, is there an explanation given? I know since you've tried to get this film screened, and is there something that you're hearing consistently as to why not?
Japan is a weird place. We don't have a crystal clear censorship, but there are more like self-censorship. In a way, they don't want to touch anything controversial, maybe.
Okay.
They don't want to take any risk. Yeah,
Well, it will be
unfortunately.
seen. I'm confident it will be seen by the people that you are hoping it will be seen by. And I can't say enough about it. It's just a powerful documentary film and so well done. And my congratulations to you and your entire team, because you have some amazing people around you. And so I hope you'll continue to pursue stories that interest you as a filmmaker, and hopefully as a journalist as well. You continue to do your work. So thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Arigatou gozaimasu.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Shiori Ito. The film is called Black Box Diaries. Thank you. You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.